and welcome to Bolivia Weekly, a weekly podcast that summarizes important news stories from and relating to Bolivia. I'm your host, David Holman, and for a full transcript of today's podcast, along with references for story content, please see our website at www.boliviaweekly.com. If you have any news stories that you feel should be covered, please write into us. You can subscribe to this podcast at our website. This podcast is sponsored by the Spinning Llama Bookstore and Outfitter, promoting multicultural learning and ecotourism. Learn more at www.thespinningllama.com. And now, for the news from Bolivia for the third week of 2010. President Evo Morales' inauguration on January 21st and 22nd is estimated to cost Bolivia $1 million, according to Pablo Gru from the Ministry of Culture. This money will go towards paying for extra security, event coordination, and renting the Hernando Siles Stadium in La Paz. On the 21st, Evo will hold a traditional ceremony with indigenous leaders at the ruins of Tiwanaku to mark the beginning of his second term in office. On the 22nd, the state will hold a formal inauguration, which will be attended by visiting heads of state from Spain, Chile, Argentina, and Venezuela, among others. The UN High Commission for Human Rights representative, Denis Radicot, told the indigenous news agency in La Paz that Bolivia needs to implement the new protections for indigenous peoples enshrined in the country's new constitution, and insisted that Bolivia adhere to these laws by consulting with indigenous tribes before initiating mining and oil extraction in sovereign indigenous territory. Radicot praised Bolivia for creating a constitution that he considers the most sensitive to indigenous peoples in Latin America, and pushed Bolivia to make a good example for other countries by implementing the stringent legal protections for indigenous peoples enshrined in their new constitution. Radicot said, quote, "They have to go forward with the consultations with indigenous communities because these accords can only bring positive results, and at the same time give the world the example that it's waiting for from them, because Bolivia has made great advances, more than other countries, even in Latin America, in the constitutional and legislative area." End quote. Despite Bolivia's new legal protections for indigenous tribes, the oil and gas ministry has begun at least two new extraction projects without consulting local indigenous groups, in the form of a copper mine in Corocoro and an oil drilling project in the Amazon of northern La Paz. A pact formed to oppose Evo Morales' Movement to Socialism party in Santa Cruz on Friday for the April elections of state governors across Bolivia. This brings former Santa Cruz state governor Ruben Costas together with Percy Fernandez, the former mayor of the city of Santa Cruz. They are calling the new party Democratic Resistance. This makes Santa Cruz one of just two states where the opposition to Morales' government has united, the other being Chuquisaca, also called Sucre, where John Cava runs unopposed as the lone opposition figure. Several prominent politicians that had planned to run for governor in Santa Cruz have decided not to run in order to support the new Democratic Resistance ticket. The Democratic Resistance has consolidated its support among the center and right parties in Santa Cruz, including the party of former dictator Hugo Banzer, the ADN party. Morales' Movement to Socialism party will have a tough time beating this alliance in Amazonian Santa Cruz, which has been a seat of the opposition to the government in Andean La Paz. Bolivian immigration has confirmed that José Luis Paredes, the ex-governor of the La Paz state and leader of the Plan Progreso political party that opposes Evo Morales' government, has fled the country on January 4th from Santa Cruz Airport on a flight to Argentina. Federal prosecutor Fernando Ganam announced that they will now declare Paredes a rebel and seek his extradition to Bolivia in relation to pending charges to the effect that Paredes misappropriated more than $1 million from the direct tax on oil and gas. Despite these charges, Eduardo León, a former legal consultant to the ex-La Paz governor, assured the press that Paredes is currently at his home in La Paz and will reappear shortly. León said, quote, "He is in his house. He's calm. He's in La Paz. Moreover, we have a political meeting on Monday where we're going to determine what Plan Progreso will do in the next elections," end quote. If the government's report of Paredes' flight is true, then he is the third high-profile political opposition leader to flee in the last several months, after ex-governor of Cochabamba Manfred Reyes Villa and Santa Cruz politician accused of plotting an assassination, Branko Marinković. The Airball Network reported that 15 people have fled the country due to pending charges during the first five-year term of President Evo Morales, including ministers from the Gonzalo Sánchez de Lozada government accused of supporting a civilian massacre. The Minister of Defense, Walker San Miguel, informed the press that his ministry has signed an accord with the National Electoral Court to use their much-lauded biometric registry for the Social Security payment Renta Dignidad in order to avoid fraud and expedite the payment process. The biometric registry provided what all sources agree was a fair and clean election in the December 2009 elections. The Ministry of Defense has also signed an accord with an insurance company owned by Banco Visa Safi to enable the military bases to be able to distribute Social Security checks along with designated financial institutions. The president of the Beni Civic Committee, Felcy Guzman, has officially asked the commandant of the 72nd Air Force Group stationed nearby to fly to the aid of several jungle communities cut off by rising Amazonian floodwaters. Representatives from towns such as Huacaraje, El Carmen, and Bella Vista asked for the airlift service because their road access had been cut off by rising waters and the local citizens needed to travel in order to conduct daily business. These particular communities are not considered to be in a safety emergency at this point in time. On January 13th, the president of the Bolivian Central Bank, Luis Loza, announced that Bolivia's national reserves of U.S. dollars have grown to $8.7 billion, thanks in large part to the nationalization of the country's oil and gas reserves by the state oil company YPFB. Loza explained that the rise in Bolivia's gas exports came due to increases in exports to Brazil and Argentina, coupled with the steadily rising oil and gas prices of 2009. Loza stated to the press, quote, "What we want to say is that if there had not been the nationalization, the income that came in this very morning of $90 million could have been going somewhere else, not inside the country. The nationalization means that we get to keep our salary in order to face our needs," end quote. Loza noted that despite pessimistic analyst opinions, Bolivian reserves grew from less than $8 billion in 2009 to $8.7 billion at year-end, despite the global financial crisis. Bolivia has announced that it is buying six Chinese K-8 light fighter jet aircraft for $57.8 million to fight, quote, "the mafia of drug traffickers," according to Defense Minister Walker San Miguel. In addition to the six Chinese fighters, Bolivia plans to buy up to 10 large Russian military helicopters for civilian security and police work, pending legislative approval. San Miguel said that, quote, "these planes are destined exclusively towards the fight against drug trafficking. It is necessary to have these aircraft in order to capture and down narco planes that cross the Bolivian skies. Every country in South America needs to collaborate and play an active role, not just that designed by the United States, like up to now," end quote. The aircraft, also known as the Hongdu JL-8, was designed in cooperation between the governments of China and Pakistan. Bolivia is the poorest country in South America, and this expenditure on aircraft alone represents 54% of the entire Ministry of Education budget, which in 2009 was just $107.1 million. That was used to pay for all of the salaries of teachers, administrators, and school facilities.
Voy a contarte de ti.
In Potosí, a meeting on the 15th was held to create the Federation for the Defense of Potosí's Culture and Patrimony. The Association of Musicians, Artists, Folklorists, and Autonomous People, or AMAFAP, joined with the College of Tourism Professionals and the Huilacoyu Cultural Center to design this new federation to promote Potosí's unique cultural heritage and cultural autonomy. Mary Tejerina, president of the College of Tourism Professionals, said, quote, "Well organized, we should define what type of tourism and culture we want. We are called to defend that which is ours and contribute to the development of the Potosí state." Each week we'll be doing a profile of a volunteer or nonprofit organization in Bolivia. This week, reporter Michaela Hagen introduces us to Volunteer Bolivia.
Organizations that arrange and support volunteer experiences paired with language immersion and travel, often called voluntourism, have become increasingly popular in the past two decades, inciting both endorsement of these more socially and culturally conscious types of travel and criticism from those who claim that such trips are exploitative, unhelpful, and encourage a quick-fix attitude toward deep and complex social problems. In this section, we will profile one nonprofit group each week that is trying to make a difference in Bolivia and explain what they do and how they do it. This week's group is called Volunteer Bolivia, an organization dedicated to facilitating volunteer experiences in Bolivia for international visitors. With a goal of creating a bridge to understanding Bolivia and her people, the organization assists travelers in designing experiences that combine volunteerism, language learning, and homestays in a way that meets the preferences and resources of each customer. Co-founded by Lee Cridland, an American who first came to Bolivia in 1994 as a volunteer, and Javier Molina, a law specialist who returned to his native Bolivia 10 years ago, Volunteer Bolivia is headquartered in Cochabamba, Bolivia, the third largest city in the country. Their staff of over a dozen professionals from several countries includes specialties in culture, travel, and volunteering. Volunteer opportunities are designed to support domestic initiatives related to improving education, healthcare, international cooperation and understanding, and strengthening community organizations. Volunteers to commit to stays of at least a month, and many long-term positions span nearly a year. Volunteers determine their exact assignments once they have arrived in Cochabamba and had the opportunity for a brief orientation to the city and the culture. Volunteer Bolivia provides a wide range of information on their website, ranging from demographic information about Bolivia to articles regarding the ethics of volunteerism. Volunteer Bolivia has an in-home travel agency called Bolivia Cultura, which offers tours to enrolled volunteers and visitors to Cochabamba. They focus on ecologically and culturally sensitive travel that partners with local guides and communities. Through this venture, the organization has developed especially strong links to a small town called Toro Toro, where they sponsor a Christmas toy giveaway for local children. Toro Toro is home to numerous dinosaur footprints, bones, and extensive cave systems. This partnership brings increasing numbers of adventurous tourists to this remote mountain town off the beaten path.
Sunday, January 17th, Bolivia sent a plane to the Dominican Republic loaded with over a ton of donated blood and plasma, 5 tons of medicines, and 40 tons of food aid to the disaster relief efforts in Haiti. Bolivian Health Minister Ramiro Tapia said to the press that this shipment is made with the collaboration of the Bolivian military and the United Nations, and that, quote, "This dramatic situation that our Haitian brothers and sisters are enduring has affected all of us, and we could not remain indifferent. This is a very significant support from the Bolivian people. Every citizen here feels helpful in aiding their Haitian brothers and sisters," end quote. In a move that shocked much of the world, Cuba also announced that it would allow American aircraft to fly over its airspace in the interests of the Haitian rescue efforts. In the youth section for this edition, reporter Michaela Hagen tells us of Bolivia's new military service law.
A recent change in Bolivia's mandatory military service law allows youth to complete their military commitment through domestic social service. The Deputy Minister of Defense, José Luis Prudencio, explained that the modification helps guarantee that the Bolivian armed forces will have a steady flow of recruits. Distinct from conscientious objectors, these new recruits will perform social service projects in areas identified by the military. This program will not replace the pre-military program that allows many young Bolivians to receive special training and schooling, but will provide these cadets with another way to continue their military service. Bolivian law requires men aged 18 to 49 to complete 1 year of military service, but the military has struggled with insufficient number of volunteers in the past, leading to compulsory recruitment and enlistment of youth as young as 14. The Ministry of Education plans to provide 50 scholarships to enable indigenous Bolivian youth to attend private universities. The scholarships, which will be awarded as a single grant to the Confederation of Indigenous Peoples of Bolivia, will be distributed to students selected locally by each community, says CIPB President Adolfo Chavez. Chavez confirmed that previous councils had encountered irregularities that needed to be corrected. Certain universities had charged for things covered by the scholarships, including registration, student IDs, tuition, and use of libraries. Chavez called on the Ministry of Education to clarify the limits of the scholarships and whether they included transportation or room and board, so that the families and indigenous organizations could seek other sources of funding. Quote, "The ministry should admit that it doesn't have the capacity to provide student housing. It would be to their benefit to immediately seek international cooperation to build dormitories with all the necessary conveniences for the students," clarified Chavez.
That's all for the news this week. To subscribe to this podcast or for a full transcript of today's show along with references for the story content, please see our website at www.boliviaweekly.com. If you have news stories that you feel should be covered, please write into us. To support this weekly news podcast, please share it with your friends and others who are interested in Bolivia and South America. This podcast is sponsored by the Spitting Llama Bookstore and Outfitter, promoting multicultural learning and ecotourism. Learn more at www.thespittingllama.com. I'm your host, David Holman, and please tune in next week. Bye-bye and adios.